One should engage in the kind of sadhana bhakti for which he is qualified. Bahiri, how does one know he is qualified for one or the other of these kinds of sadhana bhakti? Babaji, a faithful person who follows the rules and regulations is qualified. In the beginning, his spiritual master teaches him vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Then, when the disciple becomes qualified, the spiritual master teaches him how to worship the Lord by following the path of Raghunuga bhakti. Lahiri, how does a person know he has become qualified for this? One who has not yet experienced in his heart the love that characterizes Raghunuga bhakti, and who instead wishes to serve the Lord according to the rules and regulations described in the scriptures, is qualified to engage in vaidhi bhakti. One who does not wish to be ruled by the scriptures' rules and regulations in his devotional service to Lord Hari, and whose heart of spontaneous love for Lord Hari's devotional service has become manifest, is qualified to engage in Raghunuga bhakti. Lahiri, O Master, please tell me, for which am I qualified? I cannot understand these explanations of who is qualified for what. I do not know whether I should engage in vaidhi or Raghunuga bhakti. Babaji, if you examine your heart, you will understand where you are qualified. In your heart, do you see the idea that it is not possible to engage in devotional service to Lord Hari without following the scriptures' teachings? Lahiri, in my mind is the idea that sadhana bhakti, following the scriptures' teachings, brings the best result. But now in my mind, I also think that devotional service to Lord Hari is a great ocean of nectar. And by engaging in devotional service, I will gradually be able to taste that nectar. Babaji, you can now see that the scriptures' rules and regulations are the ruler of your mind. Therefore, you should engage in vaidhi bhakti. Gradually, the spiritual love that is Raghunuga bhakti will manifest in your heart. Hearing these words, Lahiri Mahashai, his eyes now filled with tears, touched the Babaji's feet and said, please be merciful and engage me as I am qualified. I am not able to understand my own qualifications. The saintly Babaji then embraced him and made him sit down again. So here is also is that the disciple is happy with whatever is the position. It's not that he is thinking, you know, that, well, no, I have to be able to be engaged in Raghunuga bhakti because the Raghunuga is supposed to be higher, and since I want to be doing the highest thing because I am the best thing, so naturally, therefore, I should be doing that. So why Guru Maharaj is not telling me this? So here he's happy because he feels he's a fool, so whatever he's good at, that's what he'll be doing. That's the thing. So then it becomes very proper, because if we actually want to go back to Godhead, we have to want what's real, not what we think is real. That is an important point. Lahiri, please order me and I will thus engage in devotional service. Babaji, you should chant the holy names of Lord Hari. Taking shelter of the holy names is the most powerful of all kinds of devotional service. The name of the Lord and the Lord himself are not different. By offenselessly chanting the holy names, one quickly attains all spiritual perfections. Therefore, with great faith, you should chant the holy names. By again and again chanting the holy names, one engages in all nine kinds of devotional service. By chanting the holy names aloud, one engages in Shravanam hearing and Kirtanam chanting. As one chants the holy names, one will naturally remember Smaranam, the pastimes of Lord Hari, and in one's mind one will serve his feet, Padasevanam, worship him, Archanam, offer obeisances to him, Vandanam, serve him, Dasyam, think of him as a friend, Shakyam, and surrender everything to him, Atmanivedanam. In this way one engages in all nine activities of devotional service. Lahiri, my heart is very eager to receive the holy names. O Master, please be merciful. Please don't delay any further. Babaji, O great soul, without committing offenses, you should always chant this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As you chanted these words again and again, the saintly Babaji placed in Lahiri Mahashai's hands a string of Tulsi beads. Weeping, Lahiri Mahasha again and again chanted the holy names on these beads. He said, "O Master, I cannot express the happiness I feel today." Overcome with happiness, Lahiri fell unconscious at the Babaji's feet. The saintly Babaji carefully picked him up. After a long time, Lahiri Mahashai said, "Today I am fortunate. Never before have I been so happy." Babaji, "O great soul, you are fortunate, for you have faithfully accepted the holy names. Thus you have made me fortunate also." From that day, Lahiri Mahashai chanted the holy names on those beads. Without fear, he stayed in his cottage and chanted the holy names. Some days passed in this way. Lahiri Mahashai wore the 12 tilak marks. He did not eat anything but Krishna Vishadam. Every day he chanted 2 lakhs of the Lord's holy names of Lord Hari. Whenever he saw a pure Vaishnava, he would always offer dandavat obeisances. Every day he would offer dandavat obeisances to the Paramahamsa Babaji before attending to other duties. He always served the spiritual master. He was not attracted to useless gossip or non-devotional music. He was not the same Lahiri Mahashai. Now he was a Vaishnava. One day he offered dandavat obeisances to saintly Vaishnava Das Babaji and asked, "O Master, what is the final spiritual goal, Prayojana?" Babaji, "Pure love for Lord Krishna, Krishna Prema, is the final spiritual goal for the individual soul. Again and again performing the duties of sadhana bhakti, one attains the state of bhava, ecstasy. When bhava becomes complete and reaches its perfection, it is called prema, pure spiritual love. That is the individual soul's eternal nature, his eternal wealth, his highest goal. The absence of this love is the greatest calamity. It brings bondage in the material world. It means the attempt to enjoy with the material senses. Nothing is higher or better than this spiritual love, prema. Lord Krishna himself is controlled by this love alone. This love is purely spiritual. It means bondage in this material world. Oh, the absence of the love is the greatest calamity. This love is purely spiritual. It is filled with the most intense spiritual bliss. Lahiri, weeping again and again, "Will I ever be qualified to attain this spiritual love?" Babaji, embracing him, "Look, and in a few days your sadhana bhakti will become bhava bhakti. A few days after that, Lord Krishna will certainly be merciful to you." Overcome with joy to hear this, Lahiri Mahashai said, "Ah, aside from the spiritual master, nothing is important. A spiritual master has mercifully rescued me from the blind well of material sense gratification." Okay, so here now in that chapter he described all the, it was a discussion, they described this off of the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So in the beginning then was all the details about the Lord, the Jiva, the material energy, and that relationship. Then he started discussing Abhideya, which then was the process of, you know, sadhana bhakti, then bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. So I mean sadhana bhakti. So in the sadhana bhakti, the chanting of the holy names, the 9 processes of devotional service, we then described. And then after chanting for some time, then he brought up the point of prayojana. So prayojana is to attain that pure love for Krishna. That is the goal. That's why everything is being done. The abhideya is for that purpose, not for another purpose. So now he's explained all those 3. So then the sadhana will mature into bhava bhakti, bhava bhakti will mature into prema bhakti. And then that's the ultimate goal when one has that love for Krishna. So all the different activities that the living entity does are simply to get to that stage. There's no other purpose like that. Any questions on any of those things before? Okay. So now chapter 3, isn't this chapter 4?
It's just repeating it there somewhere that's started.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. It's another chapter.
All right. It's actually a repetition of chapter 3 put in there, so you have to go through it all right now.
So this is the same chapter. So we just before he already saw Navadvip and all that, right?
Yeah. It's just the way the file is wrong. Like because of a few chapters keep repeating.
I guess they're good chapters. This is the way all of them are, or just the way it is in your place?
Same file.
They're all it's the same file. Oh, you just put it across?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4, okay, the Vaishnava vision. D. And Nitya Dharma, Naimittik Naya. Vaidhi Bhakti and the eternal religion, it is not temporary. Lahiri Mahashai had a large family in his home in Shantipur. His two sons were famous scholars. One was named Chandranath, who was 35 years old. He was a landowner, zamindar, and he looked after all the household affairs. He was learned in the medical texts. He did trouble himself much with religion. Still, he was honored in Brahmana society. He took care of the servants, maids, doorkeepers, and others, and he looked after the household affairs. The second son was named Devidas, or the first one was Chandranath. Devidas. From childhood, he eagerly studied the Nyaya Shastra and Smriti Shastra. He had his own school with 10 or 15 students. He bore the title Vidyaratna, the jewel of knowledge. One day in Shantipur, there was a rumor that Kalidas Lahiri had become a Vaishnav ascetic. That was his name, Kalidas? As we just know as Lahiri Mahashai. Kalidas Lahiri. So he had become a Vaishnav ascetic. The rumor was everywhere, at the bathing ghats, in the marketplace, and on the streets. Some said that he was now a senile old man. Indeed, on that day, the general opinion was that he had become senile. Some said perhaps he was struck with some disease. He is a Brahmin by birth. His sons and wife and family obey him. What suffering led him to renounce the world? Some said such is the sad end of they who run here and there, advertising their love for religion. Some educated person said, Kalidas Lahiri is a very pious man. Although everything this world has to offer is in his possession, in his old age he has become attracted to the holy names of Lord Hari. In these ways they talked. Hearing all these rumors, someone repeated them to Devidas Vidyaratna Mahashai. Wrapped in thought, Vidyaratna approached his elder brother and said, Brother, I think our father is in great trouble. His body is in good health, he is staying at Godrum in Nadia, but he has fallen into bad association. We cannot be blind to the rumors in the village. Chandranath replied, O brother, I have also heard some of these rumors. The fame of our house is very great. Still, when I hear these rumors about father, I can no longer hold my head high. We have always held the family of Advaita Prabhu in low esteem. But what has now happened in our own house? Let us go home, consult with our saintly mother, and do what we can. Devidas and Chandranath sat on the veranda of their home. A Brahmana widow served them their meal. Their mother sat with them, arranging for the meal. Chandranath said, "Mother, have you heard any news about father?" The saintly mother replied, "Why, is his health good? He is in Navadvip now. He is mad after the holy names of Lord Hari. Why don't you bring him back here?" Devidas said, "Mother, his health is good, but I have heard that other things are not good. If we bring him home, our reputation will be ruined." Then the saintly mother asked, "How can it be? The other day at the Ganga's shore, I talked about many things with the daughter-in-law of one of the big Goswamis. She said to me, 'Your husband is very fortunate. The Vaishnavas honor him.'" Devidas said, "He is not honored in our social circles. Now that he is old in years, will he stay at home and allow us to serve him? No, he eats the remnants left by men who wear loincloths. He has defiled our exalted family. O wicked age of Kali, our father has seen and heard so much. What has happened to his intelligence now?" Because they're smart, so then they're thinking, what a disaster has happened because he's become a devotee. Right? And these, you know, and these are ones who are following the Vedic culture very strictly, but missing the point. Right? Their family tradition and heritage will be ruined because they became devotees. The saintly mother said, "Bring him here and keep him hidden until you can bring him to his senses. Chandranath said, "What else can we do?" Accompanied by two or three men, Devi should go to Gotruma and secretly bring father back. Devi said, "You know very well that father, thinking me an atheist, does not have a very good opinion of me. I cannot even talk with him there. If I cannot even talk with him there, if I cannot even talk with him, there should be something else I can do." Devidas's maternal cousin, Shambhunath, is liked by father. Shambhunath stayed with him and served him for many days. So it was settled that the two of them, Devidas and Shambhunath, were to go to Gotama. So this whole idea of, I say, kidnapping and deprogramming is not new. Right? So it was settled that the two of them, Devidas and Shambhunath, were to go to Gotama. A servant was sent in advance to arrange their stay in some Brahmin's home. The next day, Shambhunath and Devidas finished their meal and set out for Gotama. Arriving, they descended from the palanquins and gave the bearers permission to depart. At their new place, they would have one Brahmin cook and two servants. Like that. We also see before some of the culture there is that they were being served old, how you say, widow Brahmani was there, because sometimes they didn't have, you know, any, how you say, they might not be much left in the family, so they would take shelter of other Brahmins or, you know, these schools or different things. And then they would help, you know, in various services there. Then we also see that the mother, even though this other Brahmani was serving, she would sit there and see that it was going properly and all that. So she was directing like that. And then the sons were taking eating. At sunset, Devidas and Shambhunath peacefully walked about Prajumna Kunj. They saw Lahiri Mahashai sitting on a leaf seat in Sri Surabhi's courtyard. His eyes closed, he was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari on his beads. His limbs were glorious with the 12 tilak marks. Quietly entering the courtyard, Shambhunath and Devidas offered dandavat obeisances to the feet of Lahiri Mahashai. Startled, Lahiri Mahashai opened his eyes and said, "Shambhu, why have you come? What is in your mind that you have come here? Devi is all well with you." The two of them humbly said, "Because you have blessed us, all is well." Lahiri Mahashai asked, "Will you take your meal here?" The two answered, "We are already guests at someone's house. You need not worry for us." At that moment, the sound of Lord Hari's holy names came from Sri Premdas's cottage of Madhavi and Malati vines. Then Sri Vaishnavadas came from his cottage and asked Lahiri Mahashai, Why does the sound of Lord Hari's names come from the Paramahamsa Babaji's cottage? Lahiri Mahashai and Vaishnava Das went there. There they saw many Vaishnavas chanting the holy names of Lord Hari and circumambulating the saintly Babaji. The two of them joined in these activities. Then everyone offered dandavat obeisances to the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. Then everyone sat down. Devidas and Shambhunath also sat down to one side. They were like two ducks surrounded by a flock of swans. One of the Vaishnavas said, "We come from the town of Katwa. Our primary reason to come here is to see Sri Navadvipa and Sri Mayapur, and to attain the dust of the Paramahamsa Babaji's feet." Embarrassed, the Paramahamsa Babaji said, "I am a fallen sinner. You have come here to purify me." After a short time, it becomes obvious that these Vaishnavas are very expert in singing the glories of Lord Hari. In a moment, mridanga and kartals are brought. Reading from a paper, an elderly Vaishnava saying these words: "Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu Nityananda Gadai Advaita Chandra Gaura Bhaktavinda." Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra, O Prabhu Nityananda, O Garadhar, O Advaita Chandra, O devotees of Lord Gaura. Apara Karuna Sindhu Vaishnava Thakur Mohina Pamare Daya Karaha Pachur. O Vaishnava Thakur, O shoreless ocean of mercy, please be merciful to me, a fallen sinner. Jati Vidya Dana Jana Made Mata Jane Udhara Kara He Nata Kripa Vitarane. Master, please be merciful and deliver me, a person mad with pride in my birth, learning, and wealth. Kanaka Kamini Lobha Pratishta Vasana Chadaya Shodha More E Mora Pratana. Please purify me of the desire for gold, women, and fame. That is my prayer. Nama Ruchi Jivadoya Vaishnave Ulas Daya Kori Deha More Ohe Krishna Das. O servant of Lord Krishna, please be merciful and give me attraction for the holy name, mercy to the living entities, and happy association with the Vaishnavas. Yeah, this we can ask for. Tomara Charana Chaya Eka Matra Asha Jivane Marane Matra Amara Bharasa. The shade of your feet is my only hope. Whether I live or die, you are my only shelter. When these verses came to an end, Lahiri Mahashai sang a prayer he had himself composed. Miche Maya Vase Samsara Sagare Padiyachi Lama Ami Karuna Kariya Dia Padachaya Hamare Tarile Tumi. I was in the grip of illusion. I had fallen into the ocean of birth and death. You were merciful to me. You gave me the shade of your feet. You rescued me. Shuna Shuna Vaishnava Thakur Tomara Charani Sampayachi Mata Mora Dukha Kara Dur. Please hear me, O saintly Vaishnava. Please hear me. Now I surrender to your feet. Please throw my sufferings far away. Jatir Gorer Kevala Gorabha Vidya Se Avidya Kala Shodhya Amaya Nitai Charani Sampahe Jauka Jvala. Pride of caste is hell. Material learning is ignorance. Please purify me and place me before Lord Nityananda's feet. Please extinguish the fire that burns within me. Tomara Kripaya Amara Jivaya Spuraka Jugalanam Kahe Kalidas Amara Hridaye Jaguka Sri Radhasham. Please be merciful and place on my tongue the holy names of the divine couple. Kalidas prays, please place Shishi Radhasham in my heart. Hearing this song, everyone became wild with happiness. Together they stood up, again and again they sang, again and again singing the words, "Please place Shishi Radhasham in my heart." They danced wildly, again and again dancing. Some Vaishnava became overwhelmed with spiritual love and fell unconscious. Then something unprecedented happened, something that when he saw it, then something unprecedented happened, something that when he saw it made Devi Das think, "Father is now plunged in meditation on the Absolute. It will be difficult to take him home again." The meeting broke up in the middle of the night. After saying their farewells, everyone returned to their own places. After bidding farewell to Lahiri Mahashai, Devi Das and Shambhunath returned to their host's home. The next day, after they had finished their meal, Devi and Shambhu entered Lahiri Mahashai's cottage. After offering Dandavat obeasances, Devi Das Vidyaratna placed the following request before Lahiri Mahashai. "This is my request. Please reside in Shantipur. In this place there are many troubles and inconveniences. All of us will happily serve you at home. If you order, we will arrange a solitary room for you to stay there." Lahiri Mahashai replied, "It is not a bad idea. Still, in Shantipur, I will not be able to associate with devotees as I do here. Devi, you know that the people of Shantipur are atheists and delight in criticizing others. It is not a happy place for anyone to live. True, there are many Brahmins there, but their intelligence is warped by association with weavers, because they make cloth there. So all the fine Bengali dhotis, saris, they all come from there. The three characteristics of Shantipur's people are fine garments, pompous words, and blasphemy of Vaishnavas." Yes. This is their expertise. I've heard it myself. I was there, we went in. Well, I forget what we were there for. We went in and then we went up one street and we were looking for someone, went down, and then I was standing at one side. And then one gentleman came up, very, very like holding himself in a very proud way, and, you know, very dignified and that. Then he said, he asked, "Are you a Naistika Brahmachari or a Udar Ananda Brahmachari?" Udar Ananda, Udar means stomach. So Udar Ananda means, you know, one who delights in eating. You know? So unfortunately I didn't understand enough Bengali to understand what he was talking about at that time. So, you know, he tried to say something, but they take great happiness in giving trouble to others, you know, especially Vaishnavas. Like that. So, and I know that at least the best of Bengal cloth, handloom cloth, is woven there in Shantipur. And it's said that the Ganga, she used to flow right next to Shantipur. But because of so much aparadha to the Vaishnavas, she moved like about a mile away, so that only those who were very sincere from Shantipur would go. Otherwise, she didn't want to offer, you know, the opportunity for them to take bath there. That is why the descendants of Advaita Prabhu suffer there. By bad association, even many of them have also turned against Lord Mahaprabhu. Therefore, please arrange that I may stay here in Godruma. That is my desire. Devi Das said, "Father, what you say is true. Still, why need you have any contact with Shantipur's people? In your own private room, you can chant Gayatri and perform your other religious duties. In this way, you may pass your days. A brahmana has eternal duties and eternal religious rituals. Great souls like yourself should always be absorbed in these duties." Lahiri Mahashai said, "Son, those days are no more. Now that I have stayed for some months with the devotees and heard the teachings of my spiritual master, my view of life has completely changed. What you call eternal duties, I call temporary duties. Devotional service to Lord Hari is the soul's only eternal duty. Chanting Gayatri and other like duties are all temporary." Kalidas replied, "Father, I do not see that duty in any scripture Father, I do not see that duty in any scripture. Is chanting Gayatri not the worship of Lord Hari? If chanting Gayatri is the worship of Lord Hari, then it is an eternal religious duty. How is chanting Gayatri different from hearing and chanting about Lord Hari and the other activities and the other activities of Vaidhi Bhakti? Lahiri Maharshi said, "Child, chanting Gayatri and other Karmakanda activities are very different from Vaidhi Bhakti. Chanting Gayatri," this means the Brahma Gayatri, "and other Karmakanda activities are performed with a desire to attain impersonal liberation. However, hearing and chanting about Lord Hari and the other activities of Vaidhi Bhakti are not performed with any material motive. When in the scriptures such results are seen to come from devotional activities that begin with hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Hari, that is so only for the purpose of attracting the materialists. Devotional service to Lord Hari brings only one result, devotional service to Lord Hari. It brings no other result. The primary result attained by Vaidhi Bhakti is that one becomes attracted to serve Lord Hari." Devidas said, "Father, then it is true that some secondary results